It's hard to believe that it's been nearly 20 years since the movie Liar, Liar, starring Jim Carrey, came out. Now, for you young folks, Jim Carrey is the dude who played Lloyd Christmas in last year's movie Dumb and Dumber 2. And then he also played Mr. Popper in the 2011 movie Mr. Popper's Penguin. Well, back in 1997, a long time ago, I know, Jim Carrey was in a movie called Liar, Liar, and there he played Fletcher Reed, who was one of the top defense lawyers in the state of California, and one of the reasons that he was such a good defense lawyer is that he was very good at lying. Now, as you might expect, his lying didn't stop in the courtroom. It spilled over into everything else in his life. He lied to everybody. He even lied to his 5-year-old son, Max. On Max's 5th birthday, Fletcher had told his son that he would be there for his party, but Fletcher decided to do something else instead and called and told him a big, fat lie about why he couldn't be there. Of course, 5-year-old Max, he was brokenhearted. And before he blows out his candle, he makes a wish. And here's what his wish was in the movie. He said, "I wish that for just one day, Dad can't tell a lie." And then magically, I don't know how, that wish comes true, and it really makes for some hilarious comedy as Fletcher wants to lie. He wants to lie, but he can only tell the truth. And you know, I mean, it gets him into huge trouble. Imagine for a moment if you were in a situation like Fletcher and could not lie for 24 hours. Would that put you in some awkward situations? Maybe with your spouse. "Honey, do these jeans make me look fat?" Well, careful. Maybe with your boss. "Hello, I wish I could come into work today, but I'm really, really sick." Nobody here has ever done that, I'm sure. Maybe it would put you in an awkward situation with your children. "Why, when I was your age, I walked to school in the snow without shoes, uphill both ways." What if it was a week, how about a month, that you could not lie? I'm guessing that you and I would find ourselves in hot water, because even if we don't outright lie, we often don't tell the whole truth, right? We hold back parts of the truth. And Benjamin Franklin has a great quote about this. Here's what he says. He says, "Half the truth is often a great lie." We fudge a little, don't we? We tell, quote-unquote, white lies. Unfortunately for fallen humanity, telling the truth is often very difficult. And even for redeemed humanity, it can be hard sometimes, can't it? And so today we continue in our series, God's Guardrails, which is how we've conceptualized the Ten Commandments as we've been in the series. And now we come to the Ninth Commandment, which says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, it very well might be that this commandment has a courtroom context to it. So if you ever have to testify in a court against your neighbor, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. But this commandment, I believe, spills over into everyday life, where you and I have innumerable opportunities to either lie or tell the truth. And so, most straightforwardly, for you and me, this commandment should be understood as, do not lie ever. Have you ever had somebody tell you that you are just like your father? Or maybe someone has said that to your kids, that they are just like you, their father. Now, when it comes to lying and telling the truth, the Bible says that we align ourselves with either the father of lies or the father of truth. And so, one simple question I have for you this morning when it comes to lying and telling the truth, and this is the question this morning, it's this: which father are you like? The father of lies or the father of truth? Which father are you like? as you and I think about that question, I want us to understand three truths this morning. The first truth is this. When we lie, we imitate the devil, the father of lies. Now, some of you are like, well, wait a minute, preacher. I mean, that's a little heavy for 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. When we lie, we imitate the father of lies. And yes, it might be a little bit heavy, but would you rather me fudge a little to make you feel better? I'm just telling you the truth, the whole truth. When we lie, we imitate the devil, the father of lies. And Jesus helps us understand this in John chapter 8. In that passage of Scripture, Jesus and the Pharisees are having a lengthy discussion about who his father is and who their father is. John 8, verse 31, and we'll read through verse 44. John 8, 31 through 44. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham's our father." Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father." They said, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot hear, or you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That's the reading of the Word of God there in John 8. You see, the devil, Satan, is the father of lies. And when you and I lie, we imitate him. In fact, the very first time we meet the devil in the Bible in Genesis 3, guess what he's doing? He's lying. Remember that Genesis 3:1? The devil said to Eve, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" He was casting doubt. He knew the truth, yet he was trying to convince them that what God had said wasn't true. He was trying to peddle a lie there. Because God had told them that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would die. But again, the devil lies again. "You'll not surely die," he told them there. "For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He was lying to them. He was trying to turn them against God. Friends, from the beginning of time, the devil has been a liar. Genesis 3 is why Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. But we have to understand, okay, that when you and I lie, we are just like him. So what exactly is lying? When I think about a definition, I really like Dawson McAllister's definition. Let me share it with you. I like it because of the nuances that come with it. Here's what he said. He said, "Lying is saying something with the intent of creating a false belief or impression. It's an attempt to get something or someone to believe something that is not true. Let me say that again. Lying is saying something with the intent of creating a false belief or impression. It's an attempt to get someone to believe something that is not true. Now, the reason why I like his definition is that it points not only to intent, but also the content. In other words, you and I can lie and mean to lie by sharing false information. Okay? Or you and I can lie by sharing false information and never, ever mean to lie. So it's not just our intent, it's also the content. So I can intentionally lie by deceiving, or I can unintentionally lie by sharing something that I think is true, but it's really not true. So intent is important, but so is content, right? We have to be careful to never spread false information. So what are some of the ways that we can lie? That's the definition. What are some ways now that we can lie? You know, you go to Wikipedia, and there are like 34 different types of lies listed there. But I want to focus just this morning on eight of the most common ones, okay, here for just a moment. The first one I want to point you to is a way that we lie is what might be called the honest lie. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. When you don't mean to lie, you don't intentionally lie, but what you're saying is wrong and you're telling people something that is not right. Right? I mean, a lie is a lie no matter the intent. It's like the Jehovah's Witness that knocked on my door a few months ago telling me that Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God, telling me that there was a time when Jesus did not exist as the Son of God. She sincerely believed every word she was saying, but she was sincerely wrong, and she was telling a lie. Now, it was a lie from the devil who had her deceived, but nevertheless, she was partaking in the lie. So that's one way we can do it. The second way is what might be called a bald-faced lie. And you just make something up. And you know it's not true. And then you tell it with a straight face. That right there is what we usually think about when we think about lying. Okay? The third way that we do it is what might be called the white lie. That's when you tell a lie because you believe it'll make the situation better, or at least not make the situation worse. And so your wife asks you, maybe, she's cooked you that new recipe which you hated, and you say, "Oh, it was great, sweetheart. Can't wait till you cook it again." Or perhaps some of the things that we tell our kids about certain holidays are white lies, okay? But let me be clear, white lies are still lies. One of the fourth way that you and I can lie is through flattery, the lie of flattery. That's when you tell somebody how great they are just to butter them up. You think that's what they want to hear. And I bet you've probably done that this month, maybe with your boss. The fifth way is the lie of exaggeration. That's when you lie by stretching the truth. How many of you guys in here are fishermen? All right. I bet you guys have done this before, right? You catch that fish, and yes, you did catch a fish, but it wasn't quite as big as you tell all your buddies. Or how about with you and your spouse? Here's another way that the lie of exaggeration comes in. Maybe you got into an argument with your spouse the other day, and you said this. You always do this, or you never do that. You know, there's a good chance that you were exaggerating there. The lie of exaggeration. But six, on the opposite side of the coin, is the lie of minimization, the lie of minimizing. That's when you make something seem like a small deal when it's really a big deal. Right, this is the flip side of exaggeration. It makes things smaller than they actually are. How about the lie of omission? That's when you only tell part of the truth. That's the seventh way that you and I can lie. The lie of omission. You tell only part of the truth. So maybe one of the teenagers here tells her parents that she went to a basketball game with her friends, which she did, but leaves out the part where she only stayed until halftime and then went back to her boyfriend's house. That is the lie of omission. What she said was true. She did go to a basketball game, but she left out the part. It was a deception. She left out the part that she knew her parents wouldn't approve of. Finally, is the eighth way I think is a common way that you and I can lie, is the lie of broken promise. The lie of broken promise. You promise to do something, but don't follow through with it. These are all the ways that you and I can lie. And when we do so, you and I are just like the father of lies. Now, why do people lie? Now that we've defined what lying is, and we've shared some of the ways that you and I can lie, why do we do it? What are the motives behind it? Dr. Robert Feldman, he's the author of the book, The Liar in Your Life, The Way to Truthful Relationships. And he says that men lie primarily to make themselves look better. Men, is that the primary reason that you lie? Think about the lies that you've told. Is that the primary reason you want to look better, and so you make yourself out to be something that you're not? You lie to make yourself look better. But for women, he said that the primary way that women lie, the primary motivation, is to make other people feel better. Ladies, have you done that this week? Someone asked you a question and you told maybe a white lie because you didn't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, women are more emotional, right? Men are more worried about their image maybe in some ways. They want respect from other people. I think about, like, when with the men thing there, the lie of making themselves look better. I think about the former NBC News anchor, Brian Williams, who's been in the news recently. Recently canned by NBC News because he was telling stories about wartime reporting that wasn't true. He told them to make himself look better. So those are a couple reasons, but are there any other ones? Here are some of the other reasons that we lie. One reason is to avoid punishment or accountability or conflict. To avoid punishment or accountability or conflict. I mean, this happens all the time with our children. Did you take that cookie? No, I didn't take the cookie. With crumbs all over their mouth and chocolate on their fingers? Of course they took the cookie. But why did they tell you they didn't? Because they didn't want to get in trouble. But that's not just children that do that. Adults do that too. And so that's one of the motives that we have for lying. Another reason that we lie, another motive, is to make ourselves feel better. We want to self-deceive ourselves. A third reason that we lie is to hurt other people. Maybe this has happened to you. I'm sure no one here has done that. But maybe you've had somebody start a rumor about you that's not true just to hurt you. Think about all those Mean Girl movies, okay? That's one of the places that you'll really see this played out in on the big screen. And the third way, or the fourth reason here for motives for lying, is to give ourselves an advantage. We lie to get an advantage in life. But you know what? The Bible boils it down really simply. The Bible gets to the heart of the matter, okay? We lie, the Bible says, because we are born sinners with a lying heart. It's really a heart issue. All these other motives, it all boils down to a heart issue. That's why Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it, it says. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Guys, you know, as you think about your children, We don't have to teach them how to lie. Nobody had to teach you how to lie. It's part of our fallen nature. And when we lie, we are just like the devil, the father of lies. Now that's the first truth I want you to understand this morning. And maybe that's a little heavy, but that's the truth. As we think about which father are you like. The second truth I want you to understand this morning is this. When we tell the truth, we mimic the Heavenly Father, the God of truth. Let me say that again. When we tell the truth, we mimic the Heavenly Father, the God of truth. Now, in the Bible, our Heavenly Father is called the God of truth. We see it in Isaiah 65:16. Bless Himself by the God of truth, it says there. Later on in that same passage, He shall swear by the God of truth. Why is our Heavenly Father called that? Why is He called the God of truth? And the answer is really simple. Because He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Listen to 1 John 1:5. It says this about God. This is the message we've heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There is only holiness. There is only righteousness. There is no deception. There is no lying. There is only truth. Numbers 23:19 says this. It says, God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? In other words, God always comes through on His promises. He never breaks a promise. Hebrews 6:18 simply says this, it is impossible for God to lie. Just straightforward, plain simple. Titus 1, verse 1 and 2. Says Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lied, promised before the ages began. You see there, it says God, and then it describes God as who never lies. Friends, God can do all things that He sets His holy will to, but there are things that God cannot do. And one of those things is that He cannot lie. He is the God of truth, the Father of truth. And when you and I, when we tell the truth, we mimic the Father of truth. So, how do you and I get from telling lies to telling the truth? I want to share with you three things in that process this morning to get you, to help you and I move from telling lies to telling truth. And the first thing is this, be wrecked by your lying. Be wrecked. In other words, be broken, be heartbroken over your lying. You know, that's what we see with Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5, when God manifests Himself to him in a vision. And he sees God in all of His holiness. He says this. Here's what Isaiah says. He says, I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am, listen to this, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was unclean in his lips. He had sinned with his lips. And surely, it was that, lying, that had made his lips unclean. Guys, think about this. As you think about being wrecked by your lying, it has made you unclean. Not only that, though, it was your lying that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Just picture Him on the cross, being nailed and stretched out and bleeding and all the things leading to His death. because of your lying and because of my lying. And that, my friends, will wreck you if you have any heart. Be wrecked by your lying. Hate it. Second is that you and I should repent and reconcile with God and man. Repent and reconcile with God and man. Acts 3:19 calls us to repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. That's the only way that our lying can be erased from our record. We can't just tell the truth from here on out. We must have our sin erased, our lying erased, and the only way that happens is through repentance and reconciliation with God and man through Jesus Christ. And then third is that you and I should put off lying and put on telling the truth. In other words, we don't just stop lying, we replace it with telling the truth. Listen to Ephesians 4:25. It says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So we put away falsehood, and we speak the truth to our neighbor. Now, speaking the truth doesn't mean that you have to be rude or that you have to be offensive. Sometimes we think that, "I just tell it like it is." Now, the truth sometimes does offend people. Sometimes the truth hurts. We should never tell the truth in an unloving way. You see, we can tell the truth and be gentle. We can tell the truth and be tactful. We can even tell the truth and be edifying. But tell the truth we must. And in doing so, we mimic the Heavenly Father, the God of truth. That's the second truth that I want to share with you this morning, to help you and me understand which Father are we like. And the third truth is this, that I want you to understand, is this. Because of our lying, every person on the planet needs Jesus. Let me say that again. Because of our lying, every person on the planet needs Jesus. Now, some of you are going to be tempted to say this morning, "Okay, preacher, I'll never lie again." And that's a good thing, okay? That's fine. Don't lie again. That's great. That's well and good. But it'll do nothing for you eternally. Let me say that again. If you never lie again, that will do nothing for you eternally. How many of you in here have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, don't be ashamed. Okay, maybe you should be ashamed. But yeah, it's okay, we're here, okay? Just we'll keep it between us. Let me say this. It doesn't matter if you never tell a lie again because you've already told one. Do you see what I'm saying here? You've already broken it. It's done. It's finished. Based on what you've done, you're already condemned. You're already toast. And no amount of good deeds from here on out, no amount of truth-telling from here on out can change that. Listen to Revelation 21:8. Listen to what it says about the destiny of those who are liars, which you've all admitted to this morning. Revelation 21:8. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That is your destiny based upon what you have done. That's my destiny based upon what I've done. And so we have only one hope. You have only one hope. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Trust in Jesus. Believe on Jesus. Love Jesus. Guys, listen to me. That's the entire purpose of the entire Ten Commandments series. God didn't give this to you so that you could work your way to eternal life. The commandments were given to you to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that based upon what you have done, hell awaits you. They were given to you to prove to you that your only hope in the universe is Jesus Christ. He lived a life that you cannot live. He never lied one time. And He died the death that you and I deserve. And the Scripture is clear. Every single one of us liars who will repent and surrender our life to Jesus will be forgiven and saved and given life forevermore in heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the promise to every one of you this morning. Regardless of how many lies you've told, you can be forgiven and saved from what your lying has earned. And so I come back to my original question this morning. Which father are you like? You know what? It's actually a trick question. Yeah. You see, the fact that you need Jesus proves that you are more like the devil than you ever would like to believe. You are not as good as you think you are. So I beg you, come to Jesus this very hour and be saved. Cling to Jesus as if your life depended on it. Because in reality, your life does depend on it. And then only by the blood of Jesus may people say that we are like our Father, the God of truth in heaven above.